just to get in. It's supposed to get your hips moving. It's supposed to get your heart moving. Amen. You got to listen to the words. That's why we sing out of that old hymnal there. Amen. That's a pretty good way of getting the attention off my mistake. Amen. A teacher asked her Sunday school class, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, gave all my money to the church, would I get to heaven? 5-6-year-olds, they yell back, no. And she's glad about that. She said, then, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn, kept everything neat and tidy, then would I get to go to heaven? And the little kids yelled, no. She said, if I got baptized and joined the church and kept every one of the commandments, would I get to go to heaven then? And the little kids all yelled back, no. And the teacher was happy about that. And then she said, well then, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And a little 6-year-old stood up in the back row and said, you got to be dead. Amen. I think our granddaughter, she'd heard a message. She's little, 3 years old. And she came home and she said, I don't want to go to heaven. And her mom said, why? She says, I don't want to leave you and dad here, you know. Amen. But little kids think differently than we do. But I'll tell you what, that kid was not doctrinally correct. Because being dead ain't going to get you into heaven. Being dead will get you into eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. Amen. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be in good company tonight. Open your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at this chapter. We're going to read verse 17. Try to preach a little bit out of the last part of the chapter. Again, it's been a blessing to be here. I want you to know that after 2 years of waiting to come back, and I'm in absolutely no hurry tonight. So you don't need to be either. Amen. Amen. And so let's read verse 17. I'm not going to say together because you'll do it. So I'm going to read it, and you're going to read along. Amen. How about that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In my Bible right there, it says November 30th, 1990. That's the day I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's the day I got saved. Amen. If I had a life verse, and I got a lot of them now, but when I became acquainted with that phrase, I guess I'd have to say I embraced this verse right here. In the jail, I got saved, and the preacher came and visited me. It was 3 weeks since he'd seen me, and I'm there. I got long hair. I'm in jail. I don't have a comb. I'm a mess. I'm in jail uniform. Amen. I got Bell's palsy. The side of my face is paralyzed. You know, I'm spitting it when I talk. My eyes stuck wide open. It really helped while I was in jail. It made me even scarier than I already was. Amen. And he came and sat down across from me in the glass, in the visiting room through the glass. We're talking on the phone. And he's looking at me. His eyes are about that big because he didn't know the name of the person he was coming to visit. And I had requested him come. And I just looked at him. I picked up the phone and I said, best I could with my problem there, I said, I did what you said. And he said, huh? And I said, I did what you said. I got saved. Yeah, and he looked back and he went, uh-huh. Amen. And in the days right after that, they let him meet with me one-on-one in the attorney privilege room. That was our only time between the glass. Amen. Or, I mean, on either side of the glass, whatever I'm talking about. And I said, look, now you preach on hell, and I know I'm a sinner, and I got saved, but I want to ask you a question. What in the world am I supposed to do now? And he said, what do you mean? I said, everybody I know is a crook. I don't have a skill. I don't have a trade. Everything I'm good at is illegal. I said, what am I supposed to do now? I don't have any friends that I can go back to, none at all. None. You might have some family that, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but I'll use the word shunned. Maybe you got some family that shunned you after you got saved. My friends put a contract out on me. All right? And don't try to think about you're going to collect, you know, to pay off your debts, because the guys that did it are all in debt or in prison now. But that's how they looked at my conversion. They looked at me like a threat, and I really didn't have any. I said to the preacher, I said, what do I do now? And he just, you know, he thoughtfully, you know, took my question in and opened the Bible, and he opened it to this chapter and this verse, and he read it kind of to himself. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he kind of read it to himself, and he looked up at me, and he said, well, according to the Bible, it looks like God's responsible to give you some new friends. And he just said that as matter-of-factly as I just did, because he just really believed the Bible, and that's what the Bible said. Could I say to you tonight that he was right, and the Bible's right, and God gave me some new friends, and it's been a joy to be with some this week. Amen. So if I had to say out of life first, that'd be the one. And I want to give you some things tonight that the Lord's laid on my heart. Let me start this. We'll pray, but then I've got an illustration. Father, I love you. And God, I don't want to waste time, and I feel like I'm stumbling around. But Lord, I pray you'd be pleased with us, not just tonight, but God, may we take something we heard this week, and not because it came from me, but because your Spirit bared witness to it. I pray that, Lord God, you just draw us closer and help us, Lord, to be useful and pleasing to you. And Father, we do pray you'd come get us soon, but even we know that's going to happen one of these days. But Lord, our prayer is that we be found faithful when it does. And God, we're not going to be able to do that without your help. We know that. We acknowledge it. And we're asking you to direct our paths, Lord, this night, this week, the rest of our lives. And we'll thank you for doing that. We need you to do that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was somewhere recently. I was trying to remember where I was. And I think I was in a sweaty old gym somewhere on a treadmill. Amen. And there's television set going. And I was sitting there bored to death, walking, trying to get some exercise. And they had this thing going here. They had a television show going. I didn't know what it was. I didn't recognize it. I am so far out of the loop, man. I keep hearing shows referred to. I keep hearing people referred to. I have no idea who anybody is. As far as I can tell, I'm no worse off because of it. I really mean it. But this thing was real interesting. It got my attention. There's an old house. They showed an old house, shabby, man, looked like something that in the neighborhood where I was living when God saved me. I wasn't living there because I was poor. I was living there because none of the money I had, the IRS knew anything about. So you don't live in the upscale neighborhood when you don't pay taxes. Amen. So, you know, I figured the first, after I got saved and I filed taxes the first time back in 1991 after about 15 years of being silent, I figured if they called me and said, where have you been since whatever it was, 1975, I was going to respond honestly. I was going to say, I don't recall. Amen. I don't recall. They can never prove whether or not you can recall. They can catch you in a lie, but they can't prove whether you recall or not. I'm not trying to give you tips in case you ever get called for the grand jury. That just came out that way. Listen, this old shack, man, it was a shack, and it looked pretty bad. And here it was on the screen, and all of a sudden, vehicles started pulling up all around it, and men jumped out. Amen. And started going and flinging open the side doors and the back doors and reaching in and grabbing equipment. And I said, boy, I'm starting to get flashbacks here. It reminded me of the day, amen, they surrounded my house and busted the door down. And that's what these guys did. They tore the door off the hinges. They barged inside and they began tearing the walls apart and ripping sinks and cabinets out. I was sitting there watching and there was no sound and I was trying to figure out what was going on. Next thing I know, kitchen sink comes flying out the window. They were seriously looking for something, amen. Just to be honest with you, I was rather shocked that television had become so violent. Amen. It was very violent. Wouldn't surprise some of you at all, but it did me. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I finally did. I figured it out. These guys were going in, and I think it said Darling Construction on the truck and all. They were going in, and they were remodeling. They were remodeling. I thought it was a SWAT team thing, but in undercover. But you understand what I'm trying to say? Because I'm having a hard time saying it. Amen. And what they started with, and how this is going to illustrate my message is this. When they started on that old house, it was filthy, it was dirty, it was rotten, it was a shambles. You know what? It was unfit for its original intended purpose. And during the course of watching this, they'd fast forward through that thing. And boy, when they got done, you'd have never recognized that it was completely different. Amen. It had undergone a total transformation from what it was. It had gone from ugly to beautiful. From disgusting to desirable. It had gone from worthless to valuable. And then I caught the writing on the screen. And the name of the show, I think it said something about an extreme makeover. Extreme makeover. Go to your Bible, chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, and I know this verse is familiar to you. It should be very familiar to you. Verse 11, and the Bible says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and they were created." And that right there, the Lord's intention when He created not just you and I, but everybody and everything, it was created to please Him. And I want to say here this last message, this last at the end of the week, that there's a time, if you're saved here tonight, there was a time when you were much like that old house in that you were totally unfit for your intended purpose. And here's what happened. You had an extreme makeover. That Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things I become new." Here's what happened. Here's what happened the day, I'll sum it up in two words. The day you became a new creature in Christ, these two words would be, "but God." Boy, you was on a road to hell, but God. The Bible says, "but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It says in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us." I'll tell you what happened. If you've had this extreme makeover, if you're saved tonight, God interceded on your behalf with love and mercy, and you got born again. You got redeemed. You got converted. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." If you're saved here today, I'm going to tell you what, on the inside, for sure, a radical change took place. Now, I couldn't explain then. I couldn't explain it. All I knew was something was different. When I got up from praying that day, I was different. I didn't look different. It took me a while to start talking different, but I knew something was different. I didn't need a rocket scientist to tell me that I need to quit drinking, quit doing drugs. I didn't need a theologian, some scholar to say, "Amen, you need to not go back to the gang. You need to quit robbing people." You know, I didn't need anybody. I knew that. I don't know how I knew that. I'll tell you why. How I knew I was a new creature. I didn't understand it. Now, theologically, I can explain to you how a circumcision was made without hands and the soul was cut away from the flesh. You know, that's pretty extreme stuff. Let me put it in terms you and I are familiar with. If you're saved here today, the day you got saved, your eternal destination, amen, changed from hell to heaven. That's about as extreme a change as you can get. You went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. Amen. You had an extreme makeover. Amen. The day you got in Christ. And so let me give you some things about that. First of all, the extreme makeover is extremely necessary if you're going to go to heaven when you die. It said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ." It didn't say if any man be in church. It didn't say if any man be in the baptistry. It didn't say, "Therefore, if any man be a good person." It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if any man get reformed or go straight or get rehabilitated. That's not what it said. It sure didn't say if any man turn over a new leaf. Amen. He's a new creature. Listen, you got big old trees around here. You watch them leaves blow sometime in the fall, and you'll watch them blow and blow, and then the wind will stop and they'll settle. And as soon as that wind kicks up again,
they'll turn again. And that's what happens with people that turn over a new leaf. They're okay till the wind starts blowing again. And if there's something I've learned since I've been a Christian, is the wind start blowing again. Amen. And amen. So it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And here's the bottom line. Either you're in Christ or you're not. Nobody's going to heaven without being in Christ. Being in Mohammed ain't going to get you there. Amen. I could spend some time telling you where it would get you, but you already know. Being in Buddha is not going to get you there. That Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. I thank God He made it that simple. Amen. Made it that simple. This is like a test with only one answer. Even dummy like me can get it right. Same goes for you. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Being in Christ is the only thing that's going to get you into heaven. And this extreme makeover I'm talking about tonight, this being a new creature in Christ, is extremely necessary. Amen. Absolutely extremely necessary. But with that being said, with that being true, I got to say this too. I'm happy to report that the extreme makeover is extremely possible. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and me got in on the whosoever clause. Amen. I'll tell you what, He made it available for anybody and everybody, and it's extremely possible. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here's a curious verse. Acts chapter 2. And it says this in verse 21. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter 2. That's where so many people get so mixed up and messed up in their doctrine. Amen. They don't rightly divide. They don't know who's talking. They don't know who's being talked to. They don't even know what they're talking about. They take a verse and start a denomination. Amen. And it says this in verse 21, and it shall come to pass, it's not happening yet, but it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that interesting? Right there in Acts chapter 2, it tells how it's going to be. It says it shall come to pass. Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's extremely possible if He made it so whosoever could get it. Amen. That's why I got it. That's how I got it. Amen. And listen, here's the curious thing about the verse. It's simple enough. But I just wonder why Alexander Campbell didn't stop there. I'm trying to figure out why he had to go all the way to verse 38 to get his doctrine from repent and be baptized. He was that close to the real thing. If he was going to be stuck in Acts chapter 2, here's what I'm saying. He should have got stuck on verse 21. The extreme makeover is extremely necessary. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm happy to report it's extremely possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians, I got water bottles all under here. I hope they're all mine. Amen. They are now. For the love of Christ, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, it seems to me like kind of obvious that the extreme makeover is extremely possible because the Bible says one died for all. And, you know, there's no guesswork needed to figure out who that is. Jesus Christ died for all. And it was necessary because we are dead. We're dead. And somebody say, well, I'm not dead. That book says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you're dead. Without Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin. You know, they got a thing on death row. Death row when an inmate gets escorted down to the electric chair or whatever they use. I've been on death row as a visitor in Florida. And they had an electric chair down there, and they call it Old Sparky. And I visited a guy down there once,
But here's when a guy, when his date comes and all the exceptions and everything have run out, the appeals, and they'll come in and they'll give him his last meal and they'll shackle him and they'll take him out of that cell, and he's got that last walk down there to the execution room. Here's what the other inmates on death row say. They say, "Dead man walking." And that's the way it is. Now, he's alive, but not for long. I'm going to tell you what, before you got saved, that's exactly what you were. You were a dead man walking. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, I'm glad you're here. I hope you get a blessing. If there's anything you need, we'd love to accommodate you. I speak the truth in love. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're a dead man walking too. Because you're dead in trespass and sin. I'm happy. I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't tell you there was a remedy for it. And there is, and his name is Jesus Christ. Because one died for all. For all. Look at verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I'm trying to figure out where Calvin had such a hard time. Amen. The Bible says he died for all. I mean, come on. What does that mean? It means he died for all. Maybe I got it, you know, because maybe Calvin's problem was all those long, hard to understand, one syllable words or something. I don't know. I'm happy to report that he'll save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. One of the hymns we sing talks about the vilest offender going free. Amen. I tell you what, you may struggle with memory of your past, but thank God he doesn't. He doesn't struggle with it at all. I like the song, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." I like that. Amen. I got friends that remember them, but I'm glad my God doesn't. I'm glad my God doesn't. If you're scripturally saved here tonight, your sins are gone because the extreme makeover was made extremely possible. Let me say it like this. Anybody in here, anybody anywhere goes to hell. They'll do it in spite of the love of God. They'll do it in spite of Calvary. They'll do it in spite of the blood Jesus shed on the cross. They'll do it in spite of the Word of God. They'll do it in spite of the Holy Spirit. They'll do it in spite of the prayers of the saints. Extreme makeover is extremely necessary, but I'm happy to report, I'm glad that it's true. I'm glad that it's extremely possible. Amen. He couldn't have made it any easier. Amen. If I can get it, I'm serious, man. If Dave Spurgeon can get saved, anybody can get saved. Dave Spurgeon can live for God, anybody can live for God. Amen. Because it's all God. You just got to let God do it. Now, next. You know I don't have a 2-point message, and you're hoping I got a 3, but I probably don't. Let me say next about this extreme makeover. It required an extreme measure. Amen. Well, this salvation by grace through faith, it was a gift to us. It's free. To us. It wasn't free to God. It wasn't free to Christ. It required an extreme measure. Let me say it to you like this. One day, and that's not even correct because there wasn't a day yet, so forgive me. God stepped out from nothing because there was nothing to step out from. He stepped onto nothing because there was nothing to step onto. God, we're talking about the Creator, spoke to nothing because there was nothing to speak to. And everything that is came into being. That God, that's who we're talking about. And the sun began to shine, and the wind began to blow, and the waves began to beat on the shore, and the birds began to sing, and the testimony of the creation was, it was good. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. One day that same God
stepped into humanity through the womb of a virgin Jewish girl. He was born sinless. He lived sinless. He died sinless. While he was here, he healed lepers. He restored sight to the blind. He cast out devils. He raised the dead. He was a preacher. And he preached this right here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said about him in John chapter 1, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sin is so bad, beloved, that it required the extreme measure of the death of God's only begotten Son. And you know what? It gets worse than that. Look at verse 21 of our text chapter tonight, 2 Corinthians 5, and it says this, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. One day, the God that spoke everything into creation became sin for you and I. Why? So we could get in Christ. So that we could become new creatures. I don't know about you, but I marvel. I mean, we get used to saying, we can quote 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture. And we're not careful. Some of those Scriptures that are so sobering, even John 3:16, we can just recite these things like they're nursery rhymes. Listen, it was one thing for Christ to die for our sin. But one day the gravity of He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, the Bible says, let us come boldly, therefore, unto the throne of grace. If it wasn't Him becoming sin for us and imputing His righteousness unto us, none of us would have any grounds to have access to the throne of grace. Amen. The extreme makeover tonight is extremely necessary and extremely possible. Hallelujah. And we need to be reminded once in a while, I do, that it required an extreme measure. But let me give you something else. Verse 15. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You know, the extreme makeover tonight, you really get it. There'll be some extreme evidence. And the evidence is real simple. It's who you live for. It's who you live for. Before you're a child of God, you lived entirely for yourself. That was the only choice you had. Amen. We understand that. We've all been there. We were all like that. But if you're saved, that's not the way it's supposed to be now. Now you can. You really can. You can live for God. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And in this day and age, people talk about the liberty of being a Christian. They seem to think that has something to do with we can do whatever we want. We have liberty. We're saved by grace. You don't have liberty to do what you want because you're saved by grace. That's ridiculous. That's what you did before you were saved. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know what you got the liberty to do if you're a child of God? You got the liberty to live for God now. Not have to, get to. I'm going to tell you what, people struggle with living for God. Man, you're missing out. It's fun! You're not enjoying your Christianity. You're not doing it right. And man, I've been around a little bit. Last 18 years of my life have been the best. I'm telling you. Amen. Let me illustrate the extreme evidence like this. I read it. Back in the Civil War, you guys heard of that up here, right? I don't know. Yeah. And that was in the very beginning of the Civil War. And
Back in the Civil War, it was in winter in Virginia, 1862, and Robert E. Lee, he's camped in his camp, yeah, and blizzard going on, and he's poring over the maps, he's trying to figure out what to do next, and 8 miles away, encamped is the army of General Stonewall Jackson, and there's terrible weather going on, and General Lee, he had to send a courier with an important message and some orders to the army over there, to Jackson, and he told the guy, now it was in the evening, and it's cold, and it's rainy, and it's wind blowing, and it's blizzard, and there's ice and everything, and you guys know about that. And he told the guy, he said, now when you get over there and deliver this, I want you to make sure that General Jackson knows that I wish to see him at his earliest convenience. So this guy, man, he took a long time, however long it take, by horseback and a blizzard and icicles and all that. And he gets there and he delivers the message, and he delivered the message to General Jackson. And General Jackson, he stopped everything he was doing. Right then, it's late at night now. He starts bundling up. He starts putting his coat on. He's putting his gloves on. He's wrapping himself up. He often ventured out without anybody with him. Of course, that's how he ended up getting shot. But he made the trip, I'm talking about, into the wee hours of the morning. And he got to Lee's camp 8 miles away. And he's stiff and he's frozen. Hey, man, he's got icicles in his beard and everything. And, man, he had to be helped off his horse and everything. And he's trying to shake it off a little bit. But as he approached General Lee's tent, his commander, and that military deportment began to override his discomfort. He snapped to and got permission to enter. And he walked in the tent, and he stood there. He stood there at the door, and he saluted, and Lee was looking the other way at his maps, and he said, you wish to see me, sir? And Lee turned around, and it was in the wee hours of the morning. He said, General, my message was I wished to see you at your earliest convenience. I didn't mean for you to get out in this weather. You didn't have to come here tonight. I told the guy, the courier, I wished to see you. And Stonewall Jackson stood there with a salute, and he looked at his commander, and he said, sir, your wish is my command. That's extreme evidence right there. That's the attitude you and I ought to have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. His wish ought to be our command. Amen. I'll tell you what we do in this day and age. We want to walk the line. We want to walk the line. We want to live right on the edge. And then we can't figure out when the storms begin to blow, and they do, how come sometimes we get washed overboard. We want to walk that line between godliness and worldliness. And I'm going to tell you what, you're destined to fail. And our attitude ought to be like Stonewall Jackson's. Man, if it's implied in that Bible, if it's implied that it'd be pleasing to the Lord, that ought to be enough. See, I didn't realize that you could get saved. When I got saved, I asked the Lord to come into my heart and take control of my life. I was acutely aware of where my control of my life had landed me. And I just thought, you know, after it being explained to me that he died for me, in my mentality, my military mentality, my street mentality in the gangs, I realized that I owed him. And I had to take care of control of my life. And I didn't realize that a person could get saved, and then if they'll get in church, spend 5 or 10 years in the pew while a preacher tries to convince them from the Bible to let him have control of their life. I didn't realize that that's the way it is for some. I just thought we owed it to them.
Don't we? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You know, if you're too close to the edge, if your problem is walking the line, could I suggest to you just get as far from the edge as you can get? That way when you get bounced around a little bit, at least you're not in any danger of falling out. There ought to be some extreme evidence if you're saved. And the evidence is this right here. Let me say it again. Who you live for. I gave a card to Daniel yesterday, and I wrote down Matthew 22:37, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and I wrote this under it. I said, if you get a hold of this, you can enjoy many things in life, but if you don't, you'll never enjoy anything. Not as a child of God. You're supposed to be living for God. Not have to. Get to. This extreme makeover we're talking about, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's extremely necessary, and thank God it's extremely possible to get in Christ. It required an extreme measure, not on our part, but it sure did on His. And if you really get it, the Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. If you really get it, there'll be some extreme evidence. And last of all, look in verse 20. Last of all, verse 20. The Bible says this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The extreme makeover has also with it an extreme responsibility. Now, you know, we look at that. I've looked at that verse, ambassadors for Christ. You know, it's real simple. You there in the Marine Corps, you're aware of embassy duty. I don't know if you ever did it or not, but embassies guard, Marines guard embassies and then that. And we have embassies all over the world. We have embassies in Europe and places where there's a lot of tourism or business and people see a lot of Americans, but we got embassies in places where they don't see any Americans at all. We got embassies in places that I can't figure out why we have embassies, to tell you the truth. But in countries like that, those Marines that are detached there, that ambassador, his family, that staff, you know, oftentimes those are the only Americans that those people see. And you know what they do, don't you? They judge all Americans by the conduct of those folks. And that book says you're supposed to be an ambassador for Christ. And the reason that's important is because if you name the name of Christ, there's people that are going to judge your Savior by your conduct. They're going to judge this church by your conduct. They'll either come to Christ or be driven away from Him by how seriously you take your responsibility to be an ambassador for Christ. Now, I've thought on that, but what I want to point out now and close this out is where it says, in Christ's stead. And that's real simple. That just means instead of. And I want to say this to you. Lord Jesus Christ is never going to hand out a gospel tract in Minneapolis. But you can. In His stead. Now, He's never going to go to a nursing home or preach in a jail or invite somebody to church so they can hear the gospel. He's not going to do that. He was here, and now He's gone, and He left us here to do those things in His stead. He's not going to put His arm around somebody who needs comfort or weep with them when they need it. But you can, and you're supposed to. He's not going to encourage somebody whenever their life's coming apart at the seams and everything seems lost. He's not going to be there. I mean, we got the Bible, but He's not going to be there to remind them that He'll never leave them or forsake them, but He might use you to do that in His stead. child of God. He's not here to tell them a lost and dying world, whosoever will call upon my name shall be saved. He's not going to do that. But you must. You can. You have to in his stead. That's an extreme responsibility. Boy, you know, we talk about, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. I told my wife many times, I said, you know, you women, you need, I mean, when you get to heaven, you need to have a serious talk with Eve. I mean, look at all the blues he's caused. She's caused you. Amen. I mean, can you imagine this lady, highly educated, very spiritual lady, having to submit to me? Can you imagine that? I said, that's all Eve's fault. Amen. Amen. But sometimes I wonder, you know, if there was a question that we'd ask, and we're not going to ask any questions. We're going to know what we need to know. But, boy, I'd say, Lord, you left such an important message, amen, in the hands of such an unworthy vessel. Now, I don't understand that, but I know this. He knows what he's doing. And he expects you and I to do what he wants done in his stead. And that's why this church is here. Praise the Lord for fellowship. Praise the Lord for the family of God. Praise the Lord for what he does when he knits people's hearts together. Praise the Lord for this haven to come to and get our batteries spiritually recharged and all that. Thank God for all that. But you know, the purpose of this church being right here on this road is because the Lord wanted the gospel in this community. And some of you are saved because the Lord put this church here. And he's not done yet. We've got an extreme responsibility. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This extreme makeover, again, is extremely necessary, but extremely possible. It required an extreme measure. Amen. Let me ask you, have you had it? I'll tell you what, you'd have never recognized that old house when they got done with it. It changed radically. People ask me all the time. I say, can I give you something to read? And they'll say, wow, what happened to you? And I say, you know, I'm glad you asked. And I say, you sure look different. You know what I say? What you see there is nothing compared to what happened on the inside. The shave and a haircut and a nice suit, that's just a result of what happened on the inside. This isn't what does it. This is. And I tell you what, if you've had it, this extreme makeover, there'll be some evidence. There'll be some evidence. I know people can backslide. I know that. I got a problem with people that claim to be saved. And they never front slid. They just added some little prayer to their list of accomplishments, things to do today. You know, okay, pray the sinner's prayer. Now I can just keep on, you know, live my life the way I want. Tell you what, you ever get this thing? You ever really get this thing? It'll change what you want to do. It'll change something. Amen. It'll change who you live for. It'll change how seriously you take your responsibility. Again, it's been a pleasure, an honor, joy to be here. You're easy to preach to. Amen. That's the greatest compliment a preacher can give a crowd. That means that there's liberty that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't bring that with me. It's been easy to preach here because you've wanted to be preached to. You've wanted the Lord to meet with you. That's what makes a good meeting. It doesn't come with me. I've tried to do my part, but listen. If the Lord tarries, we got to stay at it. I'm on a schedule to come back in 2011. Oh, I hope the Lord comes before then. I believe that it's extremely possible that he will. But I tell you again, like I prayed, the most important thing is for us to be found faithful when he does. Amen. And I'll tell you what, you really get a hold of this new creature in Christ, it makes it a lot easier. Let's stand, bow our heads. Father, thank you for allowing me to stand in my friend's pulpit this week, minister to the best of my limited ability, with the help of your Spirit and your divine, infallible book. And I pray, Lord, that you bless these precious folks. And I pray that you speak to hearts according to needs, and you know the needs. And Lord, I pray that we just live up to our intended purpose, and in spite of our frailties and our fickleness, and in spite of being dust and having good days and bad days, I pray that we never let go of the desire to be pleasing to you, and may that provoke us to confess our sins when we sin, and get up when we mess up and fall, and help us try to be a blessing to one another, an encouragement, not a discouragement. Lord, most of all, may you be happy with us, including this invitation. May you be happy with this meeting and how it ends. I love you tonight, Lord. Everything changed when I got saved, and there have been rough times and plenty of that stuff. That's part of life. But the best things in the world have happened to me since I became yours. And I'm looking forward to the future. Bless this church, this pastor and his family, this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Eyes closed for a few minutes. Give opportunity for somebody to come tonight that needs to pray. If you do, come right ahead. this way. All right, it's been good, huh? Y'all got one more rip snorter of a song in ya before we leave? 508. 508. And 508. Have these things in, they hardly get started till they end. But it was seemed like a lot shorter than 2 years ago that Brother Spurgeon was here. So Lord Terry and I reckon he'll be back in a couple more. So we look forward to that. You guys have some time to fellowship with these folks here tonight. And I appreciate the faithfulness this week. Appreciate everybody having a good spirit. It's been real good. And keep us in prayer here this week with getting ready for Seth and Kaylin's wedding and all that. It'd be nice if no creeping crud would come upon us, any plagues of pestilence or any such thing. It'd be nice. Be nice if a skunk didn't get in our yard, Brother Kehoe, a night before the wedding. All those kind of things. It'd be nice if that didn't happen. So you be in prayer, and we'd appreciate it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this week. It's been really good. We are reminded, Lord, in coming to the ends of these meetings, how temporal things are. We look for these things, and we build up to them, Lord, and then they're over, it seems, before we know it. We've learned that that's the way it is, Lord, a lot of times with even children and friendships and life itself. We're glad that we have a bright hope in the future, and that that light at the end of the tunnel is the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll come soon, get us out of this mess. Until then, we'd like to be victorious in thy name. We'd like to be fruitful for you, and we'd like to be the kind of ambassadors you'd have us to be. So we pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.